Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor. FM to get started.
Hey y'all, we are back for Supernatural Thursdays. Lilith is back. There's major foreshadowing thanks to Chuck. We've got a special guest Skyping in. Stay tuned.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, the buzz.
Hey guys! We are back for Cherry's favorite day of the week.
Supernatural Thursday!
You guys, my name is Lindsay Wegner, and obviously I'm joined by Cherry Davis. We're back for Supernatural Thursdays, and we have Marky and Tarsook Skyping in with us today. Can you hear us, Marky?
Hey, everybody.
Yay! Hey! Guys, we're here to talk about Supernatural. This is Season 15, Episode 5. Proverbs 17:3, and let me just tell you actually what that Bible verse is, in case you don't know. The crucible for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord tests the heart. Pen drop. God is testing us.
Chuck is testing us. He isn't my God, thank you very much.
Oh, goodness. Is he your God, Markian? Is Chuck your God? Or are you making decisions right now based on your own personal choices?
Personal choices?
Personal choices. I mean, he did choose. We won't get to that spoiler just yet. But Lilith is back. Chuck is writing the end. He is playing with the boys. There's a hamster wheel going on right now. And I'm not happy about it. But, Cherry, what were your initial thoughts about this week's episode?
The foreshadowing. And we finally talked about the bullet. Or should I say the premonition in the room? I'm so happy they're sharing what's going on.
I've been so excited for Sam and Dean to finally talk and hear it happen. And I know that we've been talking about it in the YouTube comments on the shows. And you guys are like, they can't. This isn't what they do. But here they are doing it. Thank goodness. So glad. Marky, and what was it like filming this episode? I'm assuming you filmed in Vancouver?
It is, yeah. We filmed it in Vancouver. We were in a bunch of locations, but mainly down, if anybody knows, in South Surrey in the woods. It's actually a really, really cool place to film. And the days that we were filming, we were actually sharing the set with Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Okay.
So we were in at one of the cabins inside of this woods, and then they were just outside of the woods. I don't know how much I'm allowed to say about them and do what they're doing, but they had a big set for season. I think they're into two now. So it was actually a big hoopla because there were two major sets going on. So we're probably talking about, you know, 1,000 people.
Oh, geez. So,
As intimate as I think the episode looked, where we were filming, it was like a carnival on the set for those few days.
Wow,
that is so.
Yeah,
cool.
It certainly didn't seem like that filming the episode. We had really, really small like scenes. There were either two or three people in each scene. It was Sam and Dean and the sheriff, or the three girls in the tent, and then you two in the cabin, or the four of you, or the five. Then when Ashley came back,
Very intimate and such a throwback to the original seasons.
Such a throwback. Well, obviously, they did the throwback with their badges.
Oh, my God.
Being Mark Hamill and Dean Ford, and Dean's badge, everyone questioning who he really was.
I love Dean every season. He will always be my meat man, boo.
Oh, I love Dean. I love him trying to eat ghost pepper jerky, and Sam warning him that, dude, you can't do it. Like,
you can't.
And he sits there chugging water and actually pours water. Like, I loved it. I was like, well, you can take your shirt off right now. And none of us would mind if you did.
None of us would mind. Did you try the ghost pepper jerky?
Was it really ghost pepper jerky?
it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I did not try the ghost pepper
would
jerky.
Would you try ghost pepper jerky?
I would try it. I wasn't there that day that they were trying the ghost pepper jerky. But okay. If I was, I think I would have given it a shot.
All right. I like that. Like to live dangerously here. So we're in Colorado. Big camping trip going on. These three girls, they do this every year. It's their annual camping trip. And this has come to an end because the other two have a job and the third one is... got her degree in philosophy, and she doesn't know what she's doing with her life yet. And all of a sudden, it becomes that there's mountain lion attacks. And that's what they claim it is. But the sheriff knows it's a real monster.
A real monster.
So they talk to Ashley, because her two friends have been killed by this mountain lion. And it comes out that she talks about a werewolf. A.K.A. you.
Me.
You,
yes.
Mark Ian.
Spoiler.
AKA Andy.
Teeth you have.
AKA Andy May.
Yeah, as reluctant as I as my character is to do it all, it was me. Yeah.
Was it fun to be in hair and makeup?
It was. I don't want to say yeah because the toughest part about it actually is was wearing the contacts for the werewolves that are actually extremely, for me, not for everybody, uncomfortable. And what they do is they cloud your vision, which puts like a yellow film across your entire kind of eye. So when we were doing the scenes running through the forest and where I'm trying to catch Ashley, I had to be really, really extra careful because I couldn't really see and it was dark. So I was kind of running blind a little bit, but... yeah, it all worked out. I'm fine.
So we have a question from the chat. Boundless Book Owl says, did Jared and Jensen try to prank you?
Ooh, that's a good question because I hear they do a lot of pranks on set.
Yeah. They didn't know. They didn't try to prank me at all.
They were nice to you.
That's what a disappointing
you were the
answer.
Newbie.
I wish they did.
I think it's okay because they probably film that and then they hold that for life and they hold it over you. I mean, although it would be pretty cool to get pied by Jensen and Jared, but.
I know. It would have been so fun. And you've done geeky TV shows before, but this one feels like it's much more active than some of the other roles you've done.
Yeah. This one definitely was more active than a lot of them. It's kind of nice, you know. As an actor, when you kind of get a part that you can metaphorically sink your teeth into a little bit. And I think this one was that one for me. And it's really fun when you get these guest spots where you get to be a werewolf, some kind of monster. Those ones are particularly more fun to do because you get to kind of stretch my abilities, and I think of like what I've done before, because I haven't played a monster in this way. I've played a zombie before, but not a monster with thoughts and feelings as deep as Andy had. So, it was a treat to do.
I think it's fun to play the villain role, but like you said, you have these deep thoughts and concern, and you made the character more humanized. Instead of just being the monster. So that's a really great point you just made.
Yeah, and I think it's way more interesting. I was kind of following along the Twitter feed. It's super entertaining of like the live Twitter feed that Supernatural goes on. Because I kind of knew what was coming. And I knew the story. And it's a lot of fun to kind of follow along. And I think really, really quickly, viewers were ready to write Josh and Andy off as like really, really stereotypical monsters, especially werewolves.
Well, Josh, yes.
Yeah, Josh.
Yeah. And so I remember too, even reading the script for the first time, being really pleasantly surprised by Andy's arc, because it just added a little more depth and gave, I think, the episode a bit more of heart than I think what is expected from those types of characters.
I have a question. When you auditioned, did you know it was going to be for Supernatural, or was it a blind audition? You didn't know what show it was going to be.
I did know it was for Supernatural. And the sides that I had for this audition were pretty similar to what you saw in the episode. Okay. But there were major rewrites. So there was a bunch of different stuff that I had to do. And what I originally did was I originally auditioned for Josh. Yeah, so I went in for Josh, and then the directors and producers had me come back to read for Andy, and then got cast from there.
Yeah, I agree. I see you far more as the Andy character. You did such a great job, and I think that being able to be the villain and make it where you almost feel sorry for you as well, you did a great job doing that, so...
Andy wasn't bad. Andy wasn't eating anybody. He didn't want to.
He didn't want to. And Richard Spite directed it. So how was it working with Richard?
Richard's the best. I mean Luke, who played my brother in the episode, we both geeked out when we met Richard because, of course, Band of Brothers is kind of where we know him mainly from. And so we geeked out a little bit when in the audition room. And then when we got onto set, he was just the kindest director that I've – one of the kindest that I've come across. He has such an understanding of that show that automatically brings you as an actor into a sense of comfort. Because on a lot of shows, especially long-running shows – most of the directors that come in are there for the certain one episode and they're out, and they kind of like go in and out. And Richard's been attached with this show for so long and knows Jared and Jensen to a T that it was super, super easy and calm, which is always good on set. And he's an actor himself, so he was able to direct us in a way that made us feel super comfortable. And I think got the best work out of everybody because, as a director, when you know what to say to an actor and make that really, really clear of what he needs, it makes the whole process easier for everybody.
Absolutely. I mean, he's been around from near the beginning. So he's got the ins and the outs and has been with Jensen and Jared for forever. So it's always great when he directs because it feels almost more cohesive.
Yes.
With the other episodes before and after, and he's like paying attention to the arcs from before, and just it flows really, really smooth whenever he directs. So obviously Ashley needs Dean and Sam to protect her, and this all seems too easy, as Sam says, and they're in the hotel room. She wants Dean to hang out with her before while she falls asleep, and we get her asking Dean questions. Does he like his job? He does. At the end of the day, he's helping people. What would he want to do if he wasn't doing this? Be Jimi Hendrix? Absolutely. But loves being a hunter. And then this is where we get this niblet of truth and foreshadowing. And she says, wouldn't it be great if everything was just planned out for you? It was all decided. And I'm like, no, 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 no. You stop being Chuck's little minion. No, 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 no. And Dean says, not really. And I'm like, this is weird. I literally wrote, this is weird.
Yes, it was weird. It was such a weird thing to say.
Well, we all knew.
I knew something was going on. She accepted werewolves way too easily. Hunters way too easily. She was just like, oh, I'm along for the ride. I was like, I'd be in shock, but okay.
Maybe she was, that's like the anti-shock. Is that you're just like, I'm going to believe anything at this point. This is all so crazy for me.
She is a philosophy major, so.
Dean is woken up by Sam, and Ashley is gone. And we find her tied up thanks to Andy and Josh. And Josh is talking about wanting to rip her heart out and eat it. And it's looking so, so gruesome dangerous. For her and dangerous. And I'm like, nah, something this still isn't right.
They're taking too long. Why are you just taking,
you're stalling. Why are you guys stalling?
Yeah.
Are you waiting for someone to show up? Did you know Sam and Dean were going to show up?
As the character, I don't know. I think Andy from the start is like, he's against it the entire time and really, really doesn't want to do it. So I think he's just trying to stall and find his way into Josh and trying to change his mind about the whole thing. Because I think, too, when we were talking about with Richard about these guys, it was that we weren't always doing this. Of we weren't always turning human. It was just recently that we started on this path, and that's why, if you see in the set, there's just tons and tons of antlers everywhere.
Yes.
We traditionally would be eating
deer
and whatever, and so. But Josh has gotten a little crazy, and I know the cabin fever, and has started going after humans. So then, I've kind of followed suit just because he's my older brother. So I think I'm trying to stall and stop him as much as I can at that point.
Well, and then everything happens so quickly because the boys show up, a fight ensues, which we knew was going to happen. Andy, you're fighting Sam. Josh is fighting Dean, older brother, younger brother. Makes sense. And, you know, Ashley's sitting scared in the corner. And I see you looking at Sam. And I'm like, he's not going to kill him.
No.
You don't have that killer look in your eyes. My mom used to say that about Marines. Like, Marines have this killer look in their eyes. Like, because they've had to kill people.
They're first on the ground.
And you didn't have it. And I'm like, okay, he's going to spare Sam. It's once again, it's taking you too long. You're hesitating. I'm like, okay, he's hesitating. And Dean doesn't really look like he's 100% suffering. But you just change the game and you shoot him with the silver bullet. You shoot Josh with the silver bullet. No questions asked. You're so quick to turn because you're so good. You're the good guy. And then your speech just like killed me. And I'm like, that's it. This is what's happening. Kill the brother and then kill yourself.
It was so weird, especially when you consider what happened last week with the young vampire saying, well, you know, I'm going to tell you what you're going to do. It feels very much like Chuck is writing these stories, like the way Ashley said about him. He's like a low-rent Dean Koontz, and that he's obsessed with Dean, which is true. But one thing that I thought was interesting was, did you watch previous Supernatural episodes with werewolves to try and get like a feel, or did you just sort of take direction from Richard?
I think I always try to watch... the show that I'm going in for. Absolutely. Actually before the audition itself, actually. So getting that tone and like what I'm looking for in terms of acting and what they're looking for, I get an idea of. And then leading up to going into filming for this episode, I kind of watched the end of last season. But of course, like you guys and the fans are way more of experts than I am in every department of this show. I'm just the actor who gets to play the story out. But Richard kind of filled us in exactly what's going on. So he gave us that kind of information to help our arc and to kind of explain things. Because when you get a script, I absolutely don't have an idea what's going to happen or what has happened. So
Richard
was great at walking us through that.
Cool. And so we've got both brothers dead, the foreshadowing of it all. And then this is where the awkwardness comes in, because I look at the clock on my TV, and I'm like, we are only halfway into episode. This all happened way too quickly, right? Y'all noticed this. I know y'all did. I'm seeing Boundless Book Owl saying foreshadowing. This all happened too quickly. So what else is going to happen? There's got to be some other thing that we're going to have to deal with. And Ashley trips and falls onto these antlers that the boys have all over the house because they're eating these deer and bucks and anything else. And she goes, pardon my language, this is a... and asks Sam if he remembers her, and Dean asks, Lilith? And here we are, we've got a new Lilith. And she's so stinking pretty, too.
She is
such
pretty.
A pretty girl. I was like, your skin, you're so pretty. And you scratched her face.
How dare you! Never scratch a woman's face.
Surprised she didn't heal it off.
Oh, I know, she couldn't. But she wanted to look.
She couldn't
like
do
a damsel in distress. All part of the plan.
All part of the plan. She was dead in the empty until God brought her back, and she was supposed to seduce Dean. Who wouldn't want to seduce Dean? And Sam asked her if Chuck sent her to kill them, and she says no. She made sure that the boys saw you go crazy, which I think, like, that even more, making sure that such manipulation, and that makes us hate Chuck, even more, just so that they get that feel and that, like, pit in their stomach, knowing this is what we're going to have to do later. She wants the equalizer, a.k.a. the magic gun, because she won't refer to it as the equalizer. And she likes doing it the hard way. And Dean's got the angel blade. Sam has the demon blade, which y'all have been pointing out that Sam is actually going to be ruling hell. Dean is going to be ruling heaven. I would love for it to be the other way around.
Yes.
At the end of the day, happy ending is the boys riding off in the Impala. And I did see somebody actually ask, Markian, did you get to sit in the Impala at all?
No, I only got to sit in that truck.
No.
What a bummer.
I know. The Impala was parked right next to us in that hotel, the inn
sure.
set. And I didn't sit in it. I should have just gone in.
You should have. Just,
yeah, we took a couple have. Selfies and got out of there.
So Dean obviously is going to protect Sam. Dean says that if he's lying, she can kill him. And she's like, I don't really want to kill you, and I can't kill you, but I have needs. So he drives Lilith to get this gun. She's died to free Lucifer from the cage. Then Sam and Dean screwed it up. She can't hurt God, but she can hurt them. And the low-rent Dean Koontz, they had to see the werewolf brothers die because foreshadowing. Once again, I'm just like, ooh. It's just making it worse and worse because I'm waiting for the moment that this is going to happen because we keep having these dreams. Mm-hmm. And now we're swapping and seeing Dean trying to kill Sam and Sam still stopping it.
Yes. And I can't figure out if Sam was supposed to be the god or if he was supposed to be the king of hell. Like, he was in a white suit, but that means
Asmodeus.
Yes.
White suit.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. You're looking like,
You're like, what's going on?
What are they talking? These crazed fans. You fangirls. Fangirls.
Yeah. No, it's funny, though, because I think with Lilith and that whole thing of how that went down was she used, and I think our characters of Josh and Andy was part of her entire plan to gain their trust from the beginning and to find them because she knew they would have to go after werewolves. And so she used us as the bait in order to get to them.
Good point.
I feel like Lilith made them start doing that. Or should I say Chuck wrote that in the book? Because they didn't start killing until the father died. And I feel like Chuck killed the father to begin that whole domino effect. Chuck's horrible.
Which, actually, I'd like to ask you a question on that. So you mentioned earlier that, you know, Dad wouldn't have wanted it that way. And Josh says, well, Dad is dead. Did you make up a scenario for why your dad had died in order to, like, kind of prepare for that emotional moment? Or have a background or anything like that?
I think we talked about it, but I don't know. If you're asking me, because there's two, like, would you also want to ask, like, the question, or is the question included, like, how do I get in that emotional place as an actor as
sure.
well? For that kind of stuff, yeah, that one I did probably about, let's say like 10 to 20 takes on that entire speech. And Richard and I did it a whole bunch of ways and,
cool.
there were ways that I did it and that were kind of more kind of on the tear side. There
sure.
were times, there were other times that we did it colder. And I think what Richard was doing was kind of putting me on the entire roller coaster of emotion. And then once you kind of do it so many times as an actor, for me is like, it just starts pouring out in terms of emotion. So mm-hmm. that's, I think the process for me at least is if I do have a shot at it more than like three or four times, I think that the weight of everything, and you have Richard in my ear kind of saying, your dad's dead, your dad's dead, you love your brother, you love your brother. And that kind of just plays into my head, and then kind of the whole emotion of that scene. Yeah.
Love that process.
I'm curious, did you guys shoot it in order, or do you shoot it out of order?
We shot it completely out of order, pretty much.
Oh, wow. That would have been harder.
Yeah. Yeah, it's tough. And, you know, those days are tough, too, when you're on your 12th hour and you've been sitting around, because a lot of, I say, set is about 90% sitting and 10% acting. So when you're sitting for that long, it's actually quite exhausting. And then they say, all right, Markian, you're up. You're doing your suicide scene, and then you're expected to hit it right away. So that's always a tricky process to try to gauge how you're gonna get to those places, kind of on you know, turn of a dime.
Sure. Well, you did a great job.
You did do a wonderful job.
I felt really bad for you. So
I did too.
There was definitely like empathy going through that, and I think too built on the fact that I knew that this was. Had to do with something with Sam and Dean being a part of all of it as well.
Very Cain and Abel.
Very Cain and Abel. Once again, another little part of it. So Lilith is going to torture Dean with Ling Chi, this Chinese torture method of lingering death where she kind of just swipes at him and she like cuts him apart basically, and it can go on for forever or near forever. And Sam shows up. He's able to shoot her with a devil's trap bullet. And the boys mention it's not going to hold her long. It barely holds her for a few seconds.
Just a few moments.
So I was like, this is ridiculous. I thought this was going to be something that would kill her.
But Lilith is really powerful. She may not be as powerful as God, but she's up there.
And that's what she says. She says, I let you kill me the last time. This time I'm not going to be so generous. All of a sudden we get a rumbling. She pushes the bullet out. The boys are temporarily disabled and can't move, frozen in place. She knows that the boys aren't going to bring the equalizer into the hotel room. She also knows they're not going to leave it at home in case they need it. Obviously, it's in baby. They have it in the glove compartment, which...
Terrible hiding place.
Why isn't it locked, or why isn't it in the trunk or something?
At least in the trunk.
Horrible. And the boys are like, well, we'll get it back from you, and she just melts it.
I was like, what? That is not the Chuck way.
So I looked up the equalizer online, and it says this is the only thing that could kill God. So now it's gone. And it's created a balanced quantum link. So somehow Sam is in Chuck's head, which is what we've known all along. There's a part of them, since they both have this hole in their shoulder from the shot towards Chuck. So they've both been kind of connected, which is why Sam is having these visions, which he's realizing. She disappears. The boys are back in the bunker. They've left notice to Cass. Still no answer from him. And Dean is once again frustrated because God is back. They're left on this hamster wheel of dealing with him. And Lilith is back. And Sam asks, why doesn't God just kill us? Why not?
He wants to torture our
He wants boys. To torture them. He wants to just put them through this back and forth, which could technically go on for forever.
Forever. They're his favorite TV show.
Obviously, that's why he didn't want to write a new one. And this is when we get our moment, y'all. Sam tells Dean his dreams and that he's having visions and that he's killing him or they're killing each other. And that this is the weird thing, that this is how they're connected. So this is this whole, that's how he's having the visions. He's seeing Chuck's truth. So I feel like they're going to use this to their benefit.
Yes, because Chuck doesn't know what's happening. He doesn't know they're having the connection. It's like how Sam was saying, at first he thought they were just nightmares. Then he realized they were not nightmares. That instead, he's seeing all the different alternative stories that Chuck is writing. And did you notice how Dean is no longer calling him God? He's calling him Chuck.
Chuck now, no more God. And did Chuck mention the other day, last episode, that he can't see Sam and Dean anymore? Did he say that? You guys in the chat, let me know if he said that.
I think he did.
I think he said that. So he can't see them, but they can see him. So God is coming for them. How do they fight God? And there we are. And that's the end of the episode.
It was quite an emotional roller coaster. So many different parallels between the two brothers, between them in the first seasons being alone and having to be reliant on each other. I was wondering if Castro was going to pop up, and he did not. But it was a good episode. I mean, Richard always brings his best because he does know the show. And he also knows the fandom. Mm-hmm. And he knows what we need to see, what we want to see in the final season.
Markian, what did you think of the episode as a whole? Even though you died, what did you think?
It really, really was great. I think I mentioned off the top, I don't know if we were online yet, that when you're in these things, you never know really how they're going to turn out. And even though I'm not like a hardcore fan of the show, I really, really enjoyed it. And not just because I was in it. I think I knew the gravity of kind of Lilith. And what the dreams were going to mean to the storyline of Supernatural. So I think I knew prior to the episode that the fandom was really, really going to enjoy this one, as did I watching it tonight. So, yeah, really, really pleased. And I hope – it seemed like – I don't know. Twitter went nuts when Lilith came back.
Lilith was big back when – in her season.
Well, I see Peter D. Supernatural Whovian in the chat saying that I think the empty is tired of Chuck's shenanigans and death also.
Yes. We're all tired of Chuck's shenanigans.
I think everyone is. We're all sick of his manipulation, and this is just writing this ending. I think that really upset everyone last week, and now we've got Lilith upsetting everyone this week. So
the women are back, and I cannot wait for Amara to kick some Chuck booty.
Yes. So, you guys, that was the episode. Let's get into our special segment, which is your favorite kill of the episode. Cherry, do you want to start?
I'm going to have to go with the girls. Like I said in my Twitter, does it sound like she's okay when she went out of the tent? Did it sound when you heard, did that sound like she was okay?
No.
No.
Okay. Your favorite kill.
That was my favorite kill.
Okay. My favorite kill was actually you, Markian, because I love the selflessness of it all. Last week we had the vampire sacrifice himself to the boys knowing this, and that always just like pulls at my little heartstrings over here. So yeah. You were my favorite kill, but for the best reason. Did you have a favorite kill of the episode? You can say yourself. It's okay.
Man, I'm biased on that one. I think it's like, I don't know, when I'm like shooting my brother, that was pretty good.
All right. Yes. You get to shoot someone. Okay.
That was a good one.
Like
it. That was
it.
Really good.
Yeah. Love it. Yeah. And Cherry's always got our news and gossip for us. Cherry, what news you got for me this week?
We have some exciting news. It's the battle of the ESPN bands. Okay, it's not the battle. Instead, Dick Jr. and the Volunteers, our own Richard Spite, has a band, and he has a debut release party with the Station Breaks. Now, you might say, the Station Breaks? What is that? Well, the Station Breaks consists of Rob Benedict, Chuck, Jason Manis, Bill Moran, and Rob Humphries, and Cooper Applett. It's going to be after Thanksgiving, November 26th at the Roxy. Tickets are still available in
Y'all,
Los
that's
Angeles,
here in LA
California.
If you're here, yeah.
So I might be spending my Thanksgiving day after with some of my Supernatural boys.
Love it. Thank you for that news, Miss Cherry. All right, Markian, let's take some time to chat with you about upcoming projects you've got going on. So I always do a little research when we have a guest. So I want to know why this all started with a porcupine.
Oh, nice.
And that your dad wanted you to be a soccer player.
That is.
But you chose acting.
Research on my bio. That's great.
I do the research, y'all.
Yeah, that's okay. So what happened when I was? It was the start. This is how it all happened. I've actually never really told this story publicly. I think it just like my family knows it.
You're sharing it with us. Breaking news, guys. Spoiler alert.
Here we go. So when I was, I think about 12 years old, as a kid, I think why most actors become actors without ever saying it is because they just love attention. as a kid, that like I loved attention so much, and it's my downfall. But when I was in theater school, it's like a kids theater program at MTYP. I'm from Winnipeg initially, so this is Manitoba Theater for Young People. I was in this theater group, and we were getting cast to do a play that year. And of course, wanting all the attention, I wanted to be the lead in this show. And it was a bunch of animals or something. And I got stuck with, once the casting got posted, I got stuck with the porcupine, which was like, you know, on the film role will be like number, you know, 20 on the call sheet. So I was so disappointed at that, like to the point where like I cried to my mom. I was so mad.
Oh.
Yeah, because I was devastated. Like it was such a small part. And then I was like, all right, as my 12-year-old self talked to myself, I was like, Markin, you got to get your bootstraps up here, pal. You got to make do with what you got. And I went up there and I rocked it.
Rocked the porcupine.
I rocked being a porcupine. I was like the most realistic, committed porcupine you've ever seen in your life that a human has done. And it got the attention of my porcupine role got the attention of the artistic director of the theater at that time, and they were looking for kids for this other professional production in the city for this huge lead part at Manitoba Theater Center. And because of that porcupine, I got considered for this lead part at a larger theater, and got that part eventually. And then
wow.
It was that. Yeah, it was because of this role that I did in a play called Over the Tavern at Manitoba Theater Center in 2007. That was when I decided I wanted to be an actor, because I did that part and I was like, wow, this is, apart from the attention stuff, I love doing this so much.
Aww.
And that was the domino effect of how I got to where I am today, and why I do acting was because of this porcupine that led me to all these different opportunities.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Really?
That's the porcupine story.
That's the porcupine story.
Porcupine
you guys,
story.
You heard it here first at AfterBuzz TV. Okay, so what projects we saw that you're doing? A Homecoming for the Holidays. There's Something Inside Your House and 50 States of Fright. All that is coming up. Where are we going to be able to see those?
Yeah. Homecoming for the Holidays is Hallmark. So I'm in two Christmas movies this holiday season.
Yay!
There's one that just came out called Christmas Jars, based on the New York Times bestseller by Jason Wright. So that one just came out. It was in theaters for one night only in the States at about 850 theaters across the States. So I actually drove down to Bellingham to see it from Vancouver.
Oh my gosh.
It was like a sold out theater, and I was really, really taken aback by how many people were there and then really, really liked this movie. So anyway, it's a really, really, both of the movies that I'm in are super, super heartfelt, family oriented Christmas kind of classics. So Christmas Jars has been out. You can then stream it starting December 1st on the BYU TV streaming app. And then there might be other avenues that I don't know of. Homecoming for the Holidays comes out December 5th on the Hallmark Channel. So tune into that. That also stars Laura Osnes, who played the original Cinderella on Broadway.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah. So she sings in this. She has the voice of an angel. So I think that one's going to be really, really great for Hallmark and all that. If you like those kinds of Christmas movies, that one's going to be right up your alley. And then next year, I'm in two horror. There's someone, I've considered both of them horror in the genre. So there's Someone Inside Your House. The rumor is it's going to be on Netflix next September.
Oh.
And coinciding, they were talking just because the It franchise and the horror franchise is really liking September releases now.
Sure.
So before Halloween. And that one is really, really exciting. I think is going to be enjoyed by a lot of people. It's the team behind Stranger Things, who was their first project out of Stranger Things.
Nice.
So they, Dan Cohen was the producer, one of them that I was in direct. He was on set with us during the filming of that. But it's a horror feature directed by Patrick Bryce, who, if you're a fan of the Creep movies, he's the guy that directed Creep. So really, really top-notch horror director. So again, too, talking about In Good Hands, we were in good hands with him. And that one is kind of what I would like to describe as a woke horror movie. Ooh. It's a bunch of high school kids. Then there's a murderer that goes around the high school and kind of starts picking off people for different reasons. So
like The Faculty. Did you ever see that movie?
Faculty was good.
The Faculty.
No,
with,
I didn't see No.
What's her name? Fatima. She was the chicken.
I think it was like came out in 2000 or something.
Yeah, long time ago, but sounds similar to it. So.
Yeah, but I'm just going to say there were 3D printed faces made for this movie.
Ooh, that sounds cool.
Oof. And did you film all of this in Vancouver or Canada?
Yeah, that one was filmed here in Vancouver as well. So that one's going to be coming out, so keep a lookout for that. It's going to be a really, really great movie, and there's some gruesome stuff going to go down in that one. And then you also mentioned 50 States of Fright. Mm-hmm. Which is, have you guys heard about Quibi down in the States yet?
I don't think so.
No.
So no. Quibi is kind of part of the now this race for the streaming service market. Uh-huh. And what Quibi is going to be, they're going to release it because it hasn't been created yet, but they're starting to just build up all of their content right now to be released. What Quibi is going to be doing is a streaming service that provides short form content. So mm-hmm. what they do is they release 22 minute episodes in 7 increments each. So
ooh.
Yeah, so it's going to be a lot of stuff coming out, and I think it's going to make a big splash down in the States, well, across North America next year.
Oh, wow.
And so it's these shorts, and they're trying to really be a curated YouTube, I would describe it as. Mm-hmm. So YouTube style content, but not everybody can upload. It's just going to be Quibi's content.
Sure.
On there. And
there's a couple people in the chat asking if you're going to be joining the Supernatural Cons.
I don't. Not that I've heard. So.
Not that you've heard, but maybe.
If there's enough fan interest, hey, you never know. So tweet at the Supernatural crew.
Tweet it. And what was your favorite thing about working on Supernatural?
My favorite thing was probably I think just working with Jared and Jensen. I think that was just because the show has been around for so long. They're in such a groove. And I think that everybody in that crew is in such a groove that when I spoke earlier of like how easy it was with Richard, that's kind of like how everybody made it feel. Mm-hmm. From the hair and makeup people to the FX to Jared and Jensen. And they're kind of like, they are rock stars. So being able to hang out with them for those days that I was on set and kind of hear all their stories, take a look at their incredible watch collection.
They have a watch collection. We didn't know that. Fabulous.
So you feel something else. Did you learn anything from the boys as a young actor? Because they've been around working steadily for like 20 years.
Plus years.
I pick up things from everybody that I work mm-hmm. with. And I think it was kind of almost off-putting to have these guys kind of nail it within 2 takes of every scene.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, you know, you're kind of watching this and you're like, that's really good. And they just did it like this.
They've been doing it for 15 years. So they're honed into their characters for 15 years. I could understand how you as an actor, me as an actress, that's intimidating to see somebody just get it right away. I remember the first movie I did. Y'all can find out what first movie I did, and you can look it up on my IMDb. I'm not going to tell you who said this to me, but I had a scene with her, and she looks at me and she goes, I'm a one-take wonder. So just so you know. And I was like, oh. Okay. As if I'm already terrified. This is my first movie I'm shooting. This is scary. It took her 15 times to get the scene right.
Oh.
And I had my stuff nailed every time. So I was like, I'm just going to not ever do that to another actor when I'm working. Because that was just like.
That was very intimidating to say to someone.
So, sorry. Continuing.
No, that's the thing is these guys are kind of actual one take wonders. So I think if I learned something, it's kind of watching how they got dialed in that quickly and how they did that and the way they just kind of prepped and got right into it. And you know, that of course comes with experience, but as a young actor, kind of seeing that you can get into that place and into that groove is a good thing to know.
Super awesome. Well, you guys, we are going to skip our predictions because we've chatted Mark Ian's ear off. And it's, although he's in Vancouver and it's only 11:17, it's a late night for all of us. So, Mark Ian, where can everyone find you? Your Instagram, Twitter, all that social media handle stuff.
All my handles are at Mark Taras, MarkTaras. So give me a follow.
Yeah. You guys, thank you so much for joining us. Cherry, where can everyone find you?
Cherry_LA. Love you, everybody.
And this is Lindsay here. You guys can find me on all things social media at Lindsay Wegner. That's LYNDSEYWEGNER. Mark Ian, we want to thank you so much for Skyping in with us. We appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Tweet us. Let us know your predictions for next week, and we'll see you then.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.